doing. I need you to engage your wings. Wings engage. Now, club can be dismissed for game time. Good job. I won't say any names
on who didn't participate.
Amen.
Okay. I praise the Lord tonight. I figured that'd be fun with the theme. That didn't go exactly as planned, as you can see. I may or may not have stole that off the internet. But it is Ephesians chapter 6 is where we'll be. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. And that's actually the title of my message tonight. And it was going to be, I need you. But to be honest, we all need you. As you could see tonight, the theme in our music is being in the Lord's army. Jason talked about it last night, and it's been on my mind a lot here lately. But that's exactly what we are, where we're at as Christians. When we get saved, it's not that we sign up for a vacation till we get to heaven. Or until it's still time to go to heaven, then the vacation continues. But no, when we get saved by the grace of God, we are then enlisted in the army of God. And we are then, at that moment, whether we like it or not, in the heat of battle. And that's what we see before us tonight, a very familiar passage. I'm going to come at it a shade different than normal. Same context, same thought, but a little different than maybe you've heard before. And I hope it'll encourage and challenge you as it has me. So Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read verses 10 through 18. Very well-known scripture. Josh actually said he taught on this when he taught the King's Kids or Track Club a couple weeks ago, right? So I told him I just stole his outline. That's all I did. I've heard it was so good I wanted to use it myself. So Ephesians 6, verse number 10. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Brother Steve, would you pray for us?
Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for the time we can gather together. I pray, God, that you use Pastor Tyler as he brings the word to us. Lord, help us to have our ears open and our hearts receptive, Lord, to what you have to say to us tonight. I pray, God, that we would be better when we leave here than we came in, Lord, that you would be glorified. In Jesus'
name. Amen. So as we look at this passage, I immediately thought when I thought of this message, us being in the battle together, it's not like you're fighting your own battle and I'm fighting mine, although we kind of are, but we're all fighting the same battle together for the Lord. And if you're in battle and you know the person beside you is not pulling their weight or is not capable to do what they're in the position to do, I'd be a little scared if I was on the heat of battle and the person beside me didn't know how to handle a gun. Or didn't know how to do what they were supposed to do. We all need each other in the battle that we're in together. That's why the devil loved the fact when COVID happened and we started worshiping online, which that's better than nothing. We did what we had to do for a little bit, but some churches There's one big church, I can't remember the name, but they went recently to 100% virtual for good. And I'm sure the devil said, whoopee, got exactly what he wanted. Because he knows we need each other. See, that verse in the Bible that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, that's not just the verse in the Bible that preachers quote because they're mad you didn't come to church on Sunday. That's a verse that we need to take to heart and realize we need this. Not less. The Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of the Lord is getting closer. And yet so many churches today are giving the devil what he wants and worshiping less. Not many people come on Sunday nights, so we're going to kick Sunday night services. Not many people come on Wednesdays, so we're going to kick Wednesday services. Well, before long, you're going to kick Sunday services if you don't watch it. We need each other. We need this. I need this. That's why I said we. It's not that you just need this. I need you. We need each other. We're fighting this together. And I feel sorry for those people. I mean, imagine, especially nursing home people. I mean, they have no choice but to be where they're at. And they haven't got to have, they didn't, well, they do now, praise the Lord. But they hadn't got to have church with other believers for three years. You imagine that? You imagine that where you would be spiritually if that were you? I know it would be me and I'd be in bad shape. We need each other. We need you. And we see that tonight. We're going to look at three things tonight. And we'll go as quickly as I can. If I don't get all the way done with it, I'm not going to push. I'm just going to get as far as I can. And I heard one preacher say, I've heard my whole life growing up, they said my sermons are like a slab of bologna. You can cut it off anywhere and it'd be okay. I mean, that's what they said. I don't know if that's exactly how they said it. I never fully understood it, but that's what they said. So I'm going to say it. And so I can cut it off anywhere and it'd be okay, I guess, right? But I'll get as far as I can tonight and leave time for prayer requests because I didn't do a good job of that last week. But the first thing we see here, if we're in a battle, that means we have an enemy, right? If we're fighting a battle, we've got an enemy. So who is our enemy? We see in our text here, verse 11 and 12. And you say, well, you skipped verse 10. Well, that was on purpose. We'll get to that in a little while. Chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So as we think about our enemy, the first thing I want to point out we see in verse 12 is our enemy, and let me back up and say, our enemy is Satan. Our enemy is not a political leader, no matter what side they're on. Our enemy is not the homosexual, the drunkard, the adulterer, the somebody that makes us mad. That's not our enemy. Now, that's who the devil wants us to make our enemy. But our true enemy is Satan himself. And we see here in verse 12, we see his cohorts. We see who we're fighting against. And we need to realize as we go all throughout the message tonight, as far as we can get, that this is a battle we in ourselves, on our own, in our flesh, cannot fight. How can you fight something you can't see? How can you fight something that even if you could see that's way more powerful than you ever thought about being? That's what our enemy is. And we see that in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling, fighting, boxing against. I'm not fighting Jason, someone I can see. And if I did, I would lose probably. But we're fighting against the enemy we can't see. It's not flesh and blood like you and me. But it goes on to say, but against principalities. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In short, that is Satan's full arsenal. And he's not pulling any punches when it comes to us. Some believers, if they're not careful, may think, well, the closer we get to the return of the Lord, the easier it's going to get on me. Or the closer I get to the Lord, the easier it's going to get. No, it's just the opposite. The closer we get to the Lord's return, the harder the battle is going to be. The closer you get to God, the harder the devil is going to fight you. The battle's never going to get easier, but harder. And if you're a child of God and the battle gets easier, then Satan's got you right where he wants you. That's why he's not fighting against you. The battle is going to get harder. Satan's going to unleash everything that he has on us because we, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, fighting for the Lord, that means we are, come what may, sharing the gospel, fulfilling the Great Commission, being obedient to what God said. And if we're going to do that, Satan's going to unleash everything he has at us. And that's an army. And that's things we cannot fight against, that we will lose against. That's why we need to realize our utter inability tonight against who we're fighting against. We see his cohorts in verse number 12. But we see next his, and I don't think ever said this word before out loud, but chicanery. His chicanery, and why I chose that is because the word means the use of clever, underhanded actions to achieve an end. See, Satan doesn't attack in a manner you expect. He attacks in subtle ways. He chips away at you slowly. Now, it's a contemporary song, but the lyrics are solid. The song by the Casting Crowns, it's a slow fade. Talking about you falling away, you falling into sin. It doesn't happen overnight. Just the devil chipping away at you. One temptation at a time. One sin at a time. We see here that Satan doesn't come at us in the manner that we would expect. And I listened today as I was listening to a message on this scripture. I like to do that near the end of my study just to kind of, number one, see if I'm on the right track. Number two, maybe get a few things that I didn't see in there myself. But he used Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We talked about that's the seven churches. And five of those seven churches, the Lord had some condemnation for them. The Lord had some pretty stout things to say to them. And if we look as we did, and I won't go to that passage of Scripture, but we'll just reference those churches. As we look at the progression, that's kind of how it goes. That's kind of how Satan attacks. And as we look at the progression and see how Satan attacks us, remember the church at Ephesus. What does the Bible say they left? Their first love. It was a church that was doing everything right. Church that hated sin. Church that had an evangelistic outreach. Church that preached the truth faithfully. If you saw that church today, you'd say that's the best church in the United States of America. But all they had there was orthodoxy. They were going through the motions, but there was no passion. They were going through the motion, but there was no fervency. They were going through the motion, but there was no love. And the devil had them right where he wanted them. If we're just going through the motions and all we do, we're doing the wrong thing. We're doing it the wrong way. See, you can do, and you've heard me say before, you can do the right thing the wrong way. See, the devil's cool with us going through the motions. The devil's cool with us doing good things. Maybe even having good outreaches. But if we're not doing it with love, with that first love, that passion, that fervency, basically we're not doing it with the hand of God on it, he's cool with it. Because if God's hand's not on it, he's not going to bless it. And see, that's how the devil attacks first. He wants you to get so busy that you don't have time to read your Bible. He wants you to get so busy that you don't have time to pray. He wants you to get so busy that you don't have the time to spend alone with God. Remember David in the presentation we watched the other night. David, a man after God's own heart. I think they did a good job of portraying that after he became king. He got so engulfed in doing the work that he didn't make time to spend time with God. And you kind of saw spiritually, at least in their presentation, his spiritual mind, he was going through the motion, but there was no love, no fervency, no passion. And you see what it led to in his life. See, losing your first love, losing your passion, losing your fervency is the first step toward going down the wrong path. And that's why the most important thing I can do for you all, for my family, and Brother Stephen Spencer instilled this in me early. and I don't do it as good as I should. But the best thing I could do for all of you or my family is to draw as close to God as I possibly can. The best thing I could do isn't do more in ministry, although we can do more and knock on more doors and have more outreaches and do more as your pastor. But if I'm doing, but yet not spending time alone with God in prayer and in His Word, just communing with Him, then I'm just going through the motions and I've lost my first love and I will not be effective. And that's the first step down the wrong path. And I praise God that I'm a part of a church. We're a part of a people that's got a mind to work, to serve God, to do things, to share the gospel, to have outreaches. And all those things are great. But we need to be careful that we're not just going through the motions without that fervent love. I would rather not do it if we're not going to do it with the fervency, with the passion, with the love. Because the church in Ephesus here was condemned by the Lord after He went down a list of things that marks of a great church. But yet He still had something bad to say to them because they left that love. If we're not careful, I've been saved since I was 8 years old, and I praise the Lord for that. But there have been several times in my Christian life, because I've just lived in it my whole life, where I've almost grown numb to it and just went through the motion, because that's what Christians do. That's what Baptists do. We go to church. We carry our Bible. We tithe. We go to Sunday school. We go to Wednesday nights. We do that. But God's not on it. My heart's not in it. And if my heart's not in it, it's not going to do anything for me. You see, if you're just going through the motions, you come to church. Now, you may get something out of the message, but there's a good chance you're not going to get as much as God wants you to get. That's why we've got to beg God to keep that fire burning. Say, God, help me to have that first love. And if I don't, please forgive me and give me the grace. That's what it says there in that passage of Scripture. Let's just go to it while we're here. I'm in no hurry. I see what time it is, and like I said, we'll get as far as we can get, and then we'll pick up next week. Revelation 2. And I hope you understand the importance of this. That's where the devil will attack you. He wants you to get so busy that you don't have time for God. Because if you don't have time for God, for yourself, to draw near Him, see, if all I do is put sermons together, but I never have time of devotion, my messages are never going to really do much at all. I may have good outlines. I may have good alliteration, but I'm not going to have the hand of God because I've not spent time with Him. I've not spoken to Him in prayer. It's a very serious thing to make sure that you spend time alone with God yourself every day. How long, that's up to you. But we need it. Just as we need this time together at church, you must have, for your spiritual health, time alone with God every day. And say we haven't done it right, here's what the Bible says. Verse number 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." So how do we get back? "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." You remember how it was when you had that first love? When you had that passion, that fire, that zeal, where you were on fire and you couldn't walk in a door without telling everybody in there what Jesus had done for you and what He could do for them. And you were serving at church and you were doing it with a heart of love. And God was honoring that. And God was blessing that. And people were getting saved and more people were coming into the church. And things were going great. If you've ever had more fervency, more love, more passion for God than you do right now, then you've left your first love. And that's the first step to where the devil wants all of us to be. He's cool with us going through the motion without the touch of God on it. So we need to remember, we need to repent, and we need to go back to where we were. And we can't go back, but we must beg God to enable, energize us to go back and to have that passion. I can't give a good, powerful speech. I mean, I might be able to get your emotions stirred, but that don't mean the Holy Spirit within you is necessarily stirred. The Holy Spirit's got to be the one to enable and empower and reignite that flame in your heart. We've got to remember and we've got to repent and go back. And look how scary this is. This is a godly church. This is a good church that's doing things right. All except for they didn't have their first love. And look what God says to them. Or look what Christ says to them. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Jesus knew how serious it was if they left that first love, that passion, that fervency, that fire. He knew the downward trajectory that meant if that's where they were. If they didn't repent, they would end up where Laodicea is. It's a very serious thing. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to get so busy that you don't have time for God. And that's why we've got to make time for God. And I'm preaching to me as well. That's one thing that's been a big adjustment for me as pastor. And I'm doing a lot more than I ever have. And if I'm not careful, it gets easy for me to take up my whole day and not have any time for me and the Lord. We've got to make that time. I've got to make that time. We need that time to commune and to fellowship. Just as I loved how they depicted David just communing with God, with him and his harp. Just drawing nigh to God. And when God, when he was doing that, God was blessing everything he did. Remember, every battle he fought, he won. Everything he did, God's hand was on. Even when the enemy was attacking, the devil knows if we leave our first love, he's got us. He knows that we're heading down the wrong path. I know I spent a whole lot of time on that, but see that if we've lost that, if we don't repent, we're just gonna follow down the path. So we see there's coldness in the church at Ephesus. And that's the first step. If we leave our first love before too long, if we don't remember and we don't repent, we will compromise. That's just how it is. Because when you as a church, when you're just going through the motions, you're doing the right thing, but God's not blessing it. Then I've seen churches where they think, well, we're doing something wrong. Nobody's coming. Nobody's participating in this great thing we did. Well, let's change. Let's become more like the world so that we can get more people in. Let's begin to compromise with sin and compromise the word so that we will be more attractive to the world because we can't draw them any other way. So I'm sure so many churches that's the path they went. They were blind to the fact that they left their first love. If they would have just drawn nigh to God again, remember, repent, and return, and begin to do the first works, God would forgive, and God, I believe, would bless again. But we see the church in Pergamos, they compromised. Remember, they had the Nicolaitans in the church. They had the doctrine of Balaam in the church, and they were cool with it. It was just kind of we'll worship Jesus and. I mean, that was Israel's problem all throughout the Old Testament as well. God and. If it's God plus or minus anything, we're doing it wrong. But when we've left that first love, it becomes easier to compromise. When we leave that fervency, we leave that fire, it becomes much easier to compromise. And so we see there's coldness that leads to compromise. That leads to coexistence with sin. The church in Thyatira, remember, they had what the Bible calls, what Christ called Jezebel in their church. A female that called herself a prophetess, that said she was speaking on behalf of God, but once again was leading people to idol worship, to sexual immorality in their worship, and the church was cool with it. They lived alongside of it. It didn't bother them. Why? Because they compromised. And they compromised because they left their first love. That's the trajectory if we're not careful. Coldness, compromise, coexistence. And then we see the church in Sardis. Contradiction. Remember it says, thou hast a reputation that thou art living, but art dead. See, they're like the fig tree. Remember the fig tree? Jesus was hungry. Now, it wasn't fig season. That's beside the point. But that fig tree looked like it was producing fruit from a distance. It had the leaves, had all the marks of what a fig tree was supposed to have, but they got closer and there was no fruit. So you can look the part and still not bear any fruit. They were the major contradiction here. They looked to the world. They may have been flourishing. They may have been doing things to draw all kinds of people in. But one preacher I've heard always said, and I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but he did say, he always asked the question, is your church growing or swelling? Dead bodies swell. Do they not? Just because you're growing doesn't necessarily mean you're doing it right. Got to be careful. And then contradiction leads to a corpse. That was the church of Laodicea. And Laodicea had everything the world had to offer. When I thought of Laodicea today, I thought of a dead body in a casket. What do we put on those bodies in the casket? The best they have. Maybe the nicest outfit they've got. They look great, but they're dead. Just because you look good don't mean you're right on the inside. If we're not, and you may be thinking, well, that'll never be us. If we lose our first love, that very well could be us. That's what the devil wants us to be. The devil wants Mountain City Baptist Church to shut down. He wants us to lose our first love. He's cool with us going through the motions without the hand of God on it, because he knows if God's hand's on it, he's going to bless it, and we're going to be able to fight for the Lord, and the Lord's going to bless and save souls and change lives. But if we're just going through the motions, he's cool with that. Go through the motions. God's hand's not on it. God's not going to bless it. We've got to, as we go back, we've got to make sure that we're fighting to maintain that first love. And I have a whole lot more to say. So that's the enemy. That's his cohorts, verse 12, his chicanery, his schemes we saw there. That's how he works. But I thank the Lord that he has given us some equipment that we can, by God's grace, by the power of the Spirit we'll talk about, put on so that we can have that first love, that we can do the right thing the right way, and God will bless it. But for the sake of time, I don't want to get halfway through that and then have to stop. We're going to cut it off right there. And I encourage you, between now and next week, read this passage, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Study it. Listen to preaching on it. And then you'll come and you'll hear me preach on it and you'll say, wow, Pastor Tyler don't know nothing he's talking about. But no, hopefully that it'll strengthen that thought in your heart so that we will be able in such a way to practice. See, it's cool to hear it. Put on the whole armor. It's cool to hear it. That's a cool thought. But if we can't practically put it to use, it does no good to us. That'll be my desire next week, to show us by God's grace how to put on the armor of God, how we can practically put to use the scripture before us. Our spiritual lives depend upon it. We need each other. We need you. You don't realize how important it is that you maintain a close walk with God. You say, well, my walk with God doesn't affect the body at Mountain City Baptist. Well, the body is made up of many parts, the Bible says, right? And if, remember, I don't want to have to go down the pinky toe train again, but I will for a second. That seems insignificant, but when it didn't function like it was supposed to, it hurt the whole body. It's very important that each of us beg God to enable us to maintain a close walk with him, to maintain that first love, that fervency, that burning fire within. And you may think that's not possible, because if you're like me, there have been many times in our spiritual life where you've been on a high and you've been on a low, and you've been on a high and you've been on a low. And it really depended on what meeting you were in, what you did, where you went. But did you know that fire can stay hot every day, no matter if you go to a church service or not? But you got to be willing to make that time, come before God and say, God, I know I'm busy. I know there's probably a million other things I could be doing right now, but I realize how important this time with you is. For the sake of my family, for the sake of my church, please help me to maintain that first love. That's what the devil wants you to do. And by God's grace, next week we'll see how we can maintain it, how we can protect it, and how we can continue to grow and fight for the Lord. But that's as far as we'll go tonight, and now we will have a...